Grace, mercy, and God's peace be yours. In the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In his book, The Cost of Discipleship, Dietrich Bonhoeffer makes it clear. While God's grace is always bestowed freely, it is never bestowed cheaply. Bonhoeffer specifically says, cheap grace is the deadly enemy of our church. Cheap grace means a doctrine, a principle, a system. It means forgiveness of sins proclaimed as a general truth. The love of God taught as a Christian concept of God. Cheap grace means the justification of sin without the justification of the sinner. Cheap grace is the preaching of forgiveness without requiring repentance. Baptism without church discipline, communion without confession. Cheap grace is grace without discipleship. Grace without the cross. Grace without Jesus Christ living and incarnate. Bonhoeffer would have us know grace is free, but it is anything but cheap. It comes at the price of God's only begotten Son, and it leads us to surrender our lives to God in gratitude and faithful obedience. Bonhoeffer calls it costly grace. He says, costly grace is the kingly rule of Christ, for whose sake a man will pluck out the eye which causes him to stumble. It is the call of Jesus Christ at which the disciple leaves the nets and follows him. God's grace is a free gift, but there is a price to pay. Nowhere is this stated probably more clearly than in the gospel lesson for today, where Jesus said, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it." And so today, for the next few minutes, I would like to explore some of the costs of discipleship. And to be honest, at first they may sound radical and far-fetched, and I think that's because unconsciously, whether we want to admit it or not, we have all adopted to the ways of the world to such an extent that we have watered down and diluted the biblical teaching on discipleship so that we don't offend anyone. We have so bought into the marketplace mentality of the world in which we live that we have come to think of Christian discipleship and church membership as pretty much one and the same thing. But all you have to do to become a disciple of Christ is take a few confirmation classes and join the church, come to worship every once in a while, and perhaps make an offering. Yet deep down inside, I think we all know that there is more to it than that. And so my hope and prayer is that by being more specific and laying out some of the costs of discipleship, we will take our callings as disciples of Jesus more seriously, commit ourselves, like you did at your confirmation, commit ourselves to Christ more fully, and so fill a greater share in Christ's kingdom on earth. So the question is, what are some of the costs of discipleship? Let me begin here. One is the loss of our old identity. I have a question for you. What was Pope John Paul II's name before he was elected Pope of the Roman Catholic Church? Does anyone know? I'll give you a hint. He was Polish. Give up? Before he was elected pope in 1978, John Paul's name was Karol Wojtyła. Wojtyła. He was born in Poland in 1920. When he was elected pope, he took the name John Paul II. And it's by that name that he'll be remembered throughout history. It used to be said that each of us has two names, a surname and a Christian name. Your surname is your last name. It signifies the family to which you belong. Your Christian name is the name given to you as a child at your baptism. It signifies your belonging to Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, many people many years ago would even have an extra name added at their baptism. I'm not sure we think that way anymore. But it might help if we did. Because as far as the world is concerned, a name is just a name, and the prettier the better. But in the Christian faith, our names are meant to identify us as disciples of Jesus Christ. The emphasis is not upon us, but upon Christ. What's important is not who we are, but to the one to whom we belong. Well, I doubt that any of us, like the Pope, would be inclined to rush out and change our names. But how would it be if we were to think of our names as more synonymous to our new identity in Christ? Paul told the Corinthians, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And Paul said of himself, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And of course, you probably all remember that before Paul met Christ, the risen Christ, the Apostle Paul's name was
Saul.
Like I said, one of the costs of discipleship is the loss of our old identity. Another cost is the sacrifice of personal freedom. Yes, you did hear me say that correctly. The sacrifice of your personal freedom. Now, as Lutherans, we are so quick to claim that God claims us as his own, but does that give us the ability to say no to him? God shows us the way we should live, yet should that give us the opportunity to rebel and make horrible mistakes? What we need to remember is that freedom in Christ is not freedom to do your own thing, but freedom to follow Christ over the ways of the world. A friend of mine who's a pastor tells a story. He told the story of meeting a couple at a party who had just moved into his community, and they were looking for a church home. They came up to him, finding out he's a pastor, and said, "Tell us about your church. We might be interested." Of course, what they meant by their question was, tell us about your programs, about your activities, tell us about your youth group, your Bible class, your Sunday school, tell us about what you have to offer. In other words, how does your church compare with all those others we have visited? My friend smiled and said, "Oh, you'll love our church. If you come to our church, we'll kill you." Well, that was not exactly what the couple expected. At first, they were stunned, speechless. The woman kind of chuckled and said, "I assume you're kidding." And my friend said without hesitation, "Not at all." And then he went on to explain that to follow Jesus Christ is not to add another bullet point on your resume, but to give up your self-interest in pursuit of Christ's kingdom here on earth. That the church is not a shopping mall where you pick up the things you think you need when you think you need them. It is rather a mission outpost from which you go out in service to Christ and his kingdom. Just to let you know, my friend never told me whether that couple joined his congregation or not. In order to live, first, you have to die. That's the ultimate cost of discipleship. That is also the spirit of Lent. You see, this is a time in which we pray, a time in which we prepare, a time in which we confess our sins. As we prepare to celebrate Christ's resurrection from the dead on Easter Sunday. And this is the good news. When we are willing to pay the cost of discipleship, when we are willing to give up our old identity and sacrifice our personal freedom as we see it, when we actually let go of our personal prejudice, our hold on personal material wealth, our allegiance to others over everything else, when we are willing to die to self, then and only then shall we experience the true new life in Christ and share in that promise of eternal life. Amen. And now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.